Can you say, he says it to you every day. You wake up and he says, welcome to my world. And right now outside, he's going to be painting pictures for you so beautiful. I say it all the time, but springtime is one of his times where he says, how do you like me now? Look at the colors, the yellows and the greens and the blues and the flowers blooming. You had nothing to do with those flowers, he tells you. I took them. I put them there for you. I made this world for you to love, to enjoy. Welcome to my world. Hallelujah. Love God like that. Responsive reading together. We're going to read from the Bible, right out of the Word of God. His Word of God. Psalm 41. Blessed. That means you're in a place of favor. You're blessed. Is he who has regard for the weak. The Lord delivers him in times of trouble.
The Lord will protect him and preserve his life. He will bless him in the land and not surrender him to the desire of his foes.
The Lord will sustain him on his sick bed and restore him from his bed of illness. Amen.
But you, O Lord, have mercy on me. Raise me up that I may repay them.
I know that you are pleased with me, for my enemy does not triumph over me.
In my integrity, you uphold me and set me in your presence forever.
Praise be to the Lord, the God of Israel, for everlasting to everlasting. Amen. That way I just can't say enough how much God answers your prayers. Amen. When you pray, he hears you. It's his timing because you want it to be right. Amen. It's his timing because you want his answer to be perfect. Amen. Not your answer, but his answer. Because when he answers you, it's right in a complete circle. It's right for you and it's right for everybody else. That's why sometimes you have to wait. Amen. When you had children and they wanted something, you knew you were going to give it to them. But sometimes they had to wait. You couldn't give him the car when he was 14. You couldn't let kids do things that they wanted to do until they were ready. Amen? We're his children. And I don't care how old, I don't care. We're going to play a party next week for two people that turned 100 years old at a nursing home. They emailed. And those two people, in God's eyes, are his children. Amen? So hallelujah. Thank you for those bells. Marilyn, you make a note to the Deacon Chuck, Marilyn? You've got to send that church a check for the bells, that they're for the ringing of the bells. A little thank you from the Second Congregational. Last week I read in Colossians how to pray for others. Today I'm going to read from Isaiah for our prayer for us and for the world. Seek the Lord while he may be found. And every single day you wake up, he may be found. Amen. Call upon him while he is near. Let the wicked forsake his ways, and the unrighteous man his thoughts. Let him return to the Lord, and he will have mercy on him, and to our God, for he will abundantly pardon. Don't ever feel like you have more than somebody else can have, because God said he will have mercy on that person who returns to him. Amen. For my thoughts are not your thoughts, he says. Let me say that again. God says, for my thoughts are not your thoughts, nor are your ways my ways, says the Lord. For as the heaven are higher than the earth, so are my ways higher than your ways, and my thoughts than your thoughts. Hallelujah. For you shall go out with joy and be led out with peace. The mountains and the hills shall break forth in singing before you, and all the trees of the field shall clap their hands. Instead of the thorn shall come up the cypress tree, and instead of the briar shall come up in the myrtle tree. And it shall be to the Lord for a name, for an everlasting sign that shall not be cut off. You shall go out with joy. Lord, your thoughts are not our thoughts. Simply lead us to your thoughts, Lord. Guide us. Direct our paths. Each and every one of us, Lord, keep us stronger in you. And then we know that our prayers will be heard. Keep us closer to you, and we know that we'll have peace that surpasses understanding, that our bodies may be healthy. Let us look to you, Lord, for all that we need, and let us rejoice in the wonderful blessings that you give us. Let us not miss those, the small blessings of somebody who loves us, the food on the table, a smile from a friend. Let us realize that those are blessings, and we take those and we build upon them with you. We love you, Lord. That's our prayer for today, that you draw us and help us to stay closer to you and show us the way and direct our paths with peace and understanding. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen and amen. Just talk to God for a minute. Thank you, Lord. not forsake you. He knows your worries. He knows your heart. Trust in God. Enjoy this day and trust in Him for the answer to your prayers. For you and for your family and for your family and for your friends. For this country and for the world. Trust God with the answers and see Him work His mighty hand. In Jesus' name. To give you wisdom. I speak to you, we're going to read from the Bible, so that you'll be stronger when you face people who come against you. Amen. So you'll be stronger when somebody talks to you about this book. I wanted sometimes just, it's in my heart to scream at the television set sometimes, but I don't. I go back to the book, but I want to give you some of that. I want you to be stronger today. Stay with me. Hallelujah. This is a day we start, and then you have the knowledge to talk to somebody. Maybe you have the knowledge to bring somebody closer to God. Maybe you have the knowledge to defend what you want to defend. Amen. We always want to defend Jesus. Amen. He says He can take care of it, but sometimes we always want to help Him out, don't we? Amen. Hallelujah. So stay with me, Lord. He made the world. How do we know that He made the world? He made Adam and Eve. How do we know that He made Adam and Eve? Because the Bible says so. But He made Adam, and He talked to Adam. Amen. He spoke. He told him stories. Adam didn't have any books to write, to read. He had God to talk to. Amen. So maybe God gave him the story of creation. And then Adam lived 900 years and he had a family. And they didn't have any books to read. They didn't have a car that they can go anywhere. They were together. They sat around a fire at night. Amen. And they told stories. You remember when we were younger and everybody talked and you sat around the kitchen table and everybody told stories and you had those things that your grandfather would tell you and your grandmother would tell you? This is what it was like back then. And he was talking to us. And he was talking to Adam. And Adam told his sons. And his sons told his sons. Amen. We talk about God in the creation. In the beginning, there was no time. There was no sense of time. Amen? There was no need for time. But when God made it, He made it in an order. How would Moses know the perfect order unless God told him? Amen? Unless God told those before Moses. First of all, He made light. Thank you. He made light first. How would Moses know that light was needed first and how long it was? Amen? And the Bible says, and that was the first day. But we don't know what a day is to God. The Bible says a day could be 1,000 years. Man puts it in there. We've got to remember this is God. Amen? He created the light. That could have took 5 billion years. Amen? And then He made the firmament. He made the atmosphere, the layers between the water, covering the earth. He made all that. Amen? He didn't make it like that. Nothing in this world comes like that. God didn't create it like that. It may have taken thousands and thousands of years, amen, for the firmament to be right around the earth. Amen? Around the light. And then He made land. Then He made the land. After He made the firmament and the atmosphere and He's got the waters and everything's right, it may have taken billions of years for the pressure, for the temperature, amen, to get right so that He could make the land. He created the land. He pulled the season. He made every river in this world. Every river. Think about this. George and I were just talking about the Housatonic and how high it gets in April because brooks run into it. Every river in this world runs into the ocean. Does the ocean overflow? No. Amen. It never overflowed. He made it perfectly. He made the land. He made the vegetation. And these were days. These days could have been thousands and thousands. When people say the world is 6,000 years old, I say, how do you get that? He said, because the first day He made land. And the second, there was no time. Amen? There was no clock on the wall. There wasn't a digital clock. Big Ben wasn't invented yet. There was no sense of time. Amen? But the Bible says it was a day. That's translated from Ham and Shem and from Noah and from Abraham. And it's translated into Hebrew. And the best word they came up with was, that's a day. And because we're smart, we think, well, that was 24 hours. We're telling God what a day is now. This is the stuff you just really God wanted to get in your hearts. And then he made the vegetation. Anybody ever plant anything? You plant a garden, amen? Well, you go outside and you plant it and you turn around and there it is, right? Or do you have to wait for it? You got to wait for it. In order to do it right, amen, you got to plant the seeds. You got to make sure the ground is right. You got to till the ground. It takes time. Then you got to plant. All of a sudden, there's tomato plant. There's an oak tree. God, why would God work like that? Amen. You want to use your brain. You want to use your brain when God is creating something. It took time for the vegetation. Amen? It took time for everything to be right. All the food to be right. The water's right. The water's clear. The water's perfect. Perfect. The water is perfect. The land is perfect. The woods are perfect. The trees are perfect. And then he made animals and birds. Why did he wait? Because that's the order. Amen? If he made animals and birds before he made the vegetation, what would have happened? How did Moses know this? He's talking perfection. Thousands and thousands of years ago, this man is writing this Genesis for us, and he's writing perfection because, for one thing, who did he talk to on the mountain? Remember Moses went out and he saw the burning bush? Who was he talking to? How long was he up there? They said he was up there a long time. Amen? He just wasn't up there high. God talked to him. How do we know what God said to him, what God didn't say to him? Amen? He wrote perfection. God created. And then he made the animals and the birds. And he made the animals and the birds for who? For us. Amen? Perfect timing. Perfect timing, perfect growth. Everything in life starts with light. You can't have life without light. It started with life, amen? It started with the light. Are you with me? God created perfection. He created the stars in the heavens upon heavens. When they just discovered a new set of stars in a new galaxy, I said, that's great that you discovered it, but guess what? It's always been there. You didn't invent it. You didn't make it. God made it, and right here in the book, it says that they're there, amen? Heavens upon heavens, amen? And what did he do on the seventh day, Brother Gary? What did he do on the seventh day? He took a break. He took a siesta. So let me ask you, how long did he rest? Did he rest 8 hours? Did he go to bed at, 11 o'clock at night and wake up at 7 in the morning? What did he do? He rest? Did he sit in a chair and watch TV? How long did he rest? Did he rest for 2 hours? Did he sleep? Or did he rest for a couple thousand years? Did he just took time to let everything that he had create itself? Amen? The animals to recreate themselves, to reproduce. Amen? And the fruit trees to reproduce. And he made all those things to do right. And he rested while he did that. Amen? He rested. He did nothing. He waited for a while. That could have been 10 billion years. There's still no time. Amen? There's still no time. And then he created who? He created Adam. He breathed life breath into the nostrils. He put his spirit, God, into Adam. He didn't do that to the angels. Amen? Are you with me? He did not create angels with his spirit inside them. He created man. And then the Bible doesn't say how long Adam was without. He does it. It doesn't. They say he created. So Adam could have been around. And now listen to me. When he created Adam, there was still no time. Amen? They didn't know it. It was perfect. Everything was perfect. Adam came. There was no sense of time because, first of all, he was never going to grow old. Amen? He was never going to get sick. He was never going to get AIDS. He was never going to get Alzheimer's. Amen? He was never going to have back surgery because of a slip disc. Amen? He was perfect. Everything was perfect. So there was no need for time. He wasn't going to go in. So time still wasn't really registered yet, was it? I mean, think about it. There was no, and then he made who? He made Eve. And then there was still nothing until they ate from the tree of knowledge, amen? Until they walked out of the garden, until God sent them out of perfection, out of a perfect place where nothing was ever going to happen because he was in control. When they bit the fruit, they became in control, amen? The second they were cast from the Garden of Eden was the first minute they realized that they needed God, amen? The second that they left there was the day that we started our redemption walk back to God, amen? That's when it started. And then the Bible starts from there. That's where it starts. When people say 6,000 years, they say, what are you talking about? Oak tree, there it comes out of the ground, and there, it didn't work that way, amen? Are you with me? I'm just giving it from the Bible. And then it says, now Adam knew his wife, and she conceived and bore a son. His name was Cain. And she said, I've acquired from a man from the Lord. Then she bore again, this time his brother Abel. Now Abel was a keeper of the sheep, but Cain was a tiller of the ground. Amen? Abel was a shepherd, and Cain was a farmer. Amen? And in the process of time, can anybody tell me how long a process of time is? Hallelujah, you can. Could have been 100 years.
Could have been probably more.
Because Adam lived 950 years because it was perfect. Hallelujah. And in the process of time, it came to pass that Cain brought an offering of the fruit of the ground to the Lord. Abel also brought the firstborn of his flock. Abel brought what? The firstborn of his flock and of their fat. And the Lord respected Abel and his offering, but he did not respect Cain and his offering. And Cain was very angry and his countenance fell. Why do you think that? It's very simple. What happened? You think about God, he wants the best. He wants the first fruit. Have you ever heard that word, first fruit? When Abel brought his sheep, he brought the youngest, the freshest, the cleanest, amen, the purest. When Cain brought the fruit, he must have just said, oh, I've been eating, I got some here, we're eating it. Oh, I'm going to bring this offering. He may have went back out to the garden, picked some more of the vegetables and fruit, and brought that offering. It was not the first fruit, amen? That's why God didn't accept it. It was that simple. Was God mad at him? No. Did you read about that? He says, why are you so mad? He said, you can do it. You can go back and do it. Listen. God said to Cain, why are you angry? And why has your countenance fallen? If you do well, will you not be accepted? God is saying, it's okay. I can't accept this because you didn't give me the first of the fruit. Amen. You didn't give me the purest of the fruit. Hallelujah. If you do not do well, sin lies at your door, and it's desirous for you that it should rule over you. He was warning Cain, don't be angry. Don't let the sin of anger rule over you. Now Cain talked with Abel, his brother. And it came to pass when they were in the field that Cain rose up against Abel, his brother, and he did what? He killed his brother. Then the Lord said to Cain, where is Abel, your brother? Listen to what Cain says. He says, I don't know. Am I my brother's keeper? There's no mercy, amen? There's no sorrow, there's no sadness, there's no fear. He just, right up to God in arrogance, who am I, my brother's keeper? He knows he just killed his brother, amen? Yet his answer to God was very bold and very arrogant. And he said, what have you done? The voice of your brother's blood cries out to me from the ground. Listen to what God says. So now you are cursed from the earth, which has opened its mouth to receive your brother's blood from your hand. When you till the ground, it shall no longer yield its strength to you. A fugitive and a vagabond you shall be on the earth. You're cursed. Listen to what Cain says. Still not sorry. And Cain said to the Lord, my punishment is greater than I can bear. Surely you have driven me out this day from the face of the ground. He said, I shall be hidden from your face. I shall be a fugitive and a vagabond on the earth. Is he saying, I'm sorry? No, he's just, and now is what he's, listen to what he says. Listen to the, he worries about, and he says, and it will happen that anyone who finds me will kill me. He was worried about himself, amen? No repentance, no sorrow. He was not asking for mercy. He was not asking for forgiveness, amen? He was thinking about who? One person, himself. Now listen to what God says. And the Lord said to him, therefore, whoever kills Cain, vengeance shall be taken out on him sevenfold. And the Lord set a mark on Cain, lest anyone finding him should kill him. That mark was the first. Remember, there's no writing, there's just icons that they use. You might think of your computer. But when that, he says he put a mark on Cain, that mark had to be something visual, amen? Something that when people walked up to Cain, they saw it. How else would they know, amen? God physically put a mark on Cain to mark him so that nobody would what? So nobody would kill him. That's the first thing that God did that was visual to other people. It had to be. It had to be something when you can make up in your own head, whether it was on his face, on his head. But anybody who saw him knew just like that, he was marked and cursed by God. Amen?
Amen.
Now I want to read to you what it means to be cursed.
Stay with me, guys. This is really good.
Hallelujah. But it shall come to pass, if you do not obey the voice of the Lord your God, to observe carefully all his commandments and his statutes, which I command you today, that these all these curses will come upon you and overtake you. Listen to the curses. God said he was what? Cursed. Amen? He told Cain, you are cursed. Listen to what happens. But it shall, cursed shall you be in the city, and cursed shall you be in the country. Cursed shall you be your basket and your kneading bowl. Amen? Listen to this. Cursed shall be the fruit of your body. What is that? Your children. Amen? God is saying cursed. He's cursed. Cain is cursed by God. And cursed shall be the fruit of your body and the produce of your land, the increase of your cattle and the offspring of your flocks. Cursed shall you be when you come in, and cursed shall you be when you go out. Are you with me? Hallelujah. He was worse off than A-Rod. Then Cain went out to the presence of the Lord. Cain left. He went from the presence of the Lord and dwelt in the land of Nod on the east of Eden. He was just outside of Eden. Everybody know the Garden of Eden? He was simply off to the... Now, Garden of Eden was perfect, amen? In your mind, just picture the most perfect thing you can think God would give him. The trees, the grass, the food, amen? He was just simply off there. So it still was beautiful, amen? Nothing was bad yet. There was no disease, nothing, okay? So he's not far. And listen to what it says. And Cain knew his wife, and she conceived and bore a son Enoch. What does that mean? He knew his wife. Means they had intercourse. Amen. Husband and wife. He knew his wife. That's the way the Bible talks about being with his wife and making a child. Amen. People are going to tell you that how could it have been just Adam and Eve when that Cain found a wife and Nod? He didn't find her. Amen. She was with him. He knew her when they got there. Amen. You understand the difference? This is knowledge. This is stuff that you can hang on to. When somebody says something so ridiculous, you can just say, well, that's not really what the Bible says at all. Amen. Are you with me? And Cain knew his wife, and she conceived and bore Enoch. And he built a city and called the city, the name of the city, after the name of his son Enoch. To Enoch was born Irad, and Irad begorn Mahalah, and Mahalah begorn Methuselah, and Methuselah begot Lamech. L-A-M-E-C-H, Lamech. Son of Cain, amen? Cain is cursed, amen? The fruit of his body, cursed. Listen to what Lamech does. Lamech takes for himself two wives. Two wives. And the name of one was Adah, and the name of the other was Zillah. And Adah bore Jabel, and he was the father of those who dwell in tents and have livestock. And his brother's name was Jubal. And he was the father of all those who play the harp and the flute. Greg, he was a musician. He made music. He was the first person in the Bible who made musical instruments. Amen. He was an entertainer. He was probably one they called for music when they wanted some peace. Amen. And as for Zillah, she also bore Tubal-Cain, an instructor of every craftsman of bronze and iron. He was the one who made weapons and made tools, amen, for work. He knew how to make pottery. He knew how to work with iron. He knew how to make bronze. He was the first father to know how to work with that stuff, amen? Hallelujah. Now, Lamech, son of ancestor of Cain, this is sixth generation. We got any great-grandfathers here? Anybody know a great-grandfather? I didn't know. You got a great-grandfather, George? You're a great-grandfather? Four generations, right? That's four generations, Dave, great-grandfather?
Yep.
That's three generations. Grandfather's the third generation?
Yep. And great-grandfather's the fourth.
And great-grandfather's the fourth. That's right. Four generations. This guy's only six generations from Adam and Eve, amen? And remember, they lived a long time back then. Why? Because things were perfect. That's simple. There were no diseases. The water was pure, amen? He's sixth generation. He's not far removed from Adam and Eve, amen? He's close. He probably knows. He knows the story. And he took how many wives? How many wives did Abraham take? Father of our whole world. I mean, he took one wife, Sarah. Right? When did Abraham get in trouble? When he went to his maidservant, amen? When he did what man allowed, but not what God allowed, amen? When he went to his maidservant, what happened? We got Ishmael, amen? And Ishmael was still blessed by God, but cast off and started a separation, amen? This guy took two wives for himself. Then Lamech said to his wives, listen to this. Ada and Zillah, hear my voice. Wives of Lamech, listen to my speech. For I have killed a man for wounding me, even a young man for hurting me. And he said, if Cain shall be avenged sevenfold, then Lamech 77-fold. What is he bragging about? He just committed murder, amen? He admitted it. I killed a man for wounding me. Maybe the man said something to him. Maybe the man insulted him. Maybe the man hurt him. Maybe they had a fight, amen? The Bible doesn't say what it was, but he said he admits that he killed him, amen? And he was proud. Was he sorry? He was worried about who? Himself, amen? There was no sorrow, amen? Was there no compassion? There was no mercy. He killed somebody, and he said, well, if Cain got sevenfold, I'm really in big trouble, amen? Cain was what by God? Hallelujah. Now it goes, this is the book of the genealogy of Adam. In the day that God created man, he made him in the likeness of God. He created them male and female, and blessed them and called them mankind in the day they were created. And Adam lived 130 years and begot a son in his own likeness, after his image, and named him Seth. After he had begot Seth, the days of Adam were 800 years, and he had sons and daughters. He had sons and daughters, amen? He just didn't have three children, he had what? He had many sons and daughters. Amen? Now the descendants of Adam, and it's in Genesis 5, you can read. And each one of his sons had sons and daughters. Enosh had sons and daughters. Hallelujah. Mahala had sons and daughters. Amen. Jared had sons and daughters. It's right here in Genesis 5. The world was populating. Amen. These are Seth's descendants now. Amen. Seth, not Cain. These are Seth. This is a whole new family. Methuselah lived 187 years and begot Lamech. After he begot Lamech, Methuselah lived 782 years and he had sons and daughters. Hallelujah. This is not the same. This is now, are you with me? Seth's descendants, another Lamech. This is now eight generations from Adam and Eve. Amen? This is Seth's descendants now. The other son that they mentioned from Adam and Eve. Are you with me? How many sons and daughters? Now you know that Cain had sons and daughters, and they had sons and daughters. Amen? But what Cain's problem was what? He was what by God? And Lamech was what by God? He was cursed. Amen? Cain was cursed. Now Lamech lived 182 years and had a son, and he called his name Noah. Eight generations after Adam and Eve. And he said, this one will comfort us concerning our work and the toil of our hands because of the ground which the Lord has cursed. And he begot Noah. Lamech lived 595 years and had sons and daughters. And Noah was 500 years old, and Noah begot Shem, Ham, and Japheth. Amen? Are you with me? We're now up to where? We're now up to Noah. My wife and I went to see the movie. As a pastor, I wanted to go. I'm not going to tell you anything about it. I'm just going to tell you it was a great movie. I enjoyed it. Two of my favorite actors are in the movie. Russell Crowe and Anthony Hopkins in the movie. I love the movie. It was interesting. He took a story. But this is how I would relate it to you. If I was going to do a story about Derby, everybody's been to Derby, amen? You know Derby? Okay, I'm going to do a story on Derby. And you're all going to go to the movies because you can't wait because you all know what Derby is. You've been there. And the scene opens up and you see downtown Derby, Main Street, and you see skyscrapers. You say, wait a minute. There's no skyscrapers in Derby. Well, that's the way I saw it. And right in the middle of the skyscrapers, there's Vanetti's, the ice cream parlor on Main Street. See, because I wanted to get it right. See, I got Vanetti's there. Amen? This is Derby. And then up on Elizabeth Street, there's a Valley Diner on Elizabeth Street. Little tiny place. I wanted that there. But there's beautiful buildings and mansions. And the Commodore Hall Bridge going over the Housatonic sort of looks like the George Washington. Listen, that's the way I see it. I got the Commodore Hall Bridge there. I just wanted to see it different. And you're going to say, wait a minute. That's not Derby. And the Housatonic River, oh my God, when you see my movie about Derby, it is so beautiful. Full of trout running everywhere, the beautiful water so clean, you can dip your cup in it and take a drink out of it if you needed to. The man who made this movie, he's an atheist, and I understood that. And I went there because I wanted to see, not to judge, but I wanted to see. I laughed out loud 3 times during the movie. I loved the movie. My wife and I were worried that people who don't know the Bible and don't understand Noah and how it happened and why it happened, they might believe some of the things that the movie showed you. And I said, well, that's because of lack of knowledge, and I want my church to know a little bit. And I know y'all probably know a lot of it, but there's little things, little facts that make you see and make you want to know more. It was fascinating. I won't tell you anything in the movie. I don't want to, because if you want, I love Russell Crowe and I love Anthony Hopkins. It was a great movie. It had nothing to do with this. It was a guy building an ark to save his family. Just like the story, he took the story, like I did with Derby. When you went to see my movie at Derby and you saw the skyscrapers, you're thinking, but this guy's... But I wanted you to see Derby the way I saw Derby, amen? Was it wrong? Well, maybe it was wrong in your eyes, but it wasn't wrong in my eyes, amen? This man was not a believer. So why would he write what the Bible says, amen? He saw it a different way. And so I accepted that because, first of all, it's his right to do that, and I enjoyed it. But when you go to see it, you'll be fascinated by some of the things you say. That he ran out of time, so he had to do things differently. And the only thing my wife didn't, she'll tell you about the movie. I'm not going to tell you. But the only thing I said when I left was that if he had made the movie like the Bible and tried to be close, that those theaters would have been packed. People were hungry to see. They would like to see it. They would like to know about Noah and understand about his 3 sons and their wives that were on the ark. Amen? Amen. There were no 3 wives on the ark. And then there's fallen angels. And I want to say something to you about fallen angels. Amen? Fallen angels. There's nothing in this Bible, there's nothing anywhere that says angels can reproduce us, amen? That said that they can come down here and be with us and make children, amen? They didn't have the Spirit of God in them, amen? They didn't have life in them like we know it. Angels can come down and take any appearance. They could be Dave. For all we know, Dave could be an angel. We don't know. I ain't going to test it. Angels can make any appearance, with any, but the Bible says angels were neither male nor female, amen? There were 3 angels that we know about with a name. One was Lucifer, amen? One was Michael, and one is Gabriel. Those are the 3 angels we know about, and they had a purpose, amen? Michael fought all our battles. Gabriel was the messenger, and y'all know who Lucifer is, amen? So there's nothing about angels coming to earth and mingling with, didn't have to. I just read something, didn't have to. Why didn't they have to? Because who was cursed?
Cain.
Hallelujah. Now it came to pass when man began to multiply on the face of the earth and daughters were born to them, that the sons of God saw the daughters of men, and they were very beautiful, and he took wives for themselves on all whom they chose. The Bible is telling you that the descendants of Cain met the descendants of Seth, and the men liked the women, and they took all the women that they wanted to, amen? And they were with them, and they knew them, and they just simply took them. Now these men were cursed, amen? Because if they were whose seed? They were of Cain's seed, amen? So nothing good with these people who abhor God. You heard about Lamech, one of his grandsons, killing somebody and not being sorry, amen? You heard about Cain. There was no sorrow, no compassion, no forgiveness. So these men took these women of Seth, amen? And then they had children. And they had giants. But we got giants today, amen? But why is that crazy? You ever watch a basketball game? If 2 basketball players, and Greg will tell you, they walked in that door, you'd say, my God, look at those guys. They look crazy. Because they're so tall. They're big. They're giants, amen? We've had giants in the world. That's nothing new. Amen? We got David and Goliath we read about. And the Lord said, My spirit shall not strive with man forever, for he is indeed flesh. Yet his days shall be 120 years. The Bible is telling us that it took Noah 120 years to build the ark. They had a chance to change their mind. There were giants on the earth in those days and also afterward, when the sons of God came into the daughters of man and they bore children to them. Those were the mighty men of who were old, men of renown. Amen. Let me read that again. Those were the mighty men who were of old, men of renown. Amen. Descendants of Cain, amen, old men, men of renown, the people who knew about these guys. Then the Lord saw the wickedness of man was great on the earth, and that every intent of the thoughts of his heart was only evil continually. Hallelujah, we see that. And the Lord was sorry that he had made man on the earth, and he was grieved in his heart. So the Lord said, I will destroy man who I have created from the face of the earth, both man and beast, creeping things and birds of the air, for I am sorry that I have made him. But Noah found grace in the eyes of the Lord. Amen? Hallelujah. He found grace. He made the ark. God didn't destroy the earth because of evil. Are you with me? When you see a lot of sinning in the world, you say, oh God, this is really bad. God's coming back. You see a lot of murder. You say, oh God, you see bombs exploding. And it's very bad. And you say that, oh, God's coming back. He didn't come back because of evil. Amen. He did not come back. He didn't destroy the earth. He didn't take Noah with him because the world was evil. He destroyed the world because there was nothing good. Amen. Nobody praising him. Nobody obeying him. Nobody following him. Nobody living a life that God presented. Amen. Nobody loving. No repentance. No sorrow. You heard it. You heard it from Cain. You heard it from his grandson. No sorrow. No repentance. Amen. He destroyed the world for lack of good, not for evil. It's a whole world of difference right there. Amen. You're thinking you see the bad. No, here you can know. You, we love him. We come to this church on Sunday. We praise and give him honor. Amen. There's good here. There's good here in the world. Amen. We see the bad and we know the bad's there, but there's good here. That's why we come together. That's why we get stronger. That's why I read this to you, so that you can have more knowledge. Amen? Why Noah did what he did with his sons and his daughters. And those stories were passed on. He had three sons on that. So Shem and Ham and Japheth, they wrote stories. They told their friends. There were still no automobiles. There were still no airplanes. There was no travel. They walked wherever they went or took a boat down the rivers. Amen? They talked to one another. They shared the stories. When their grandsons, they talked about their grandpa Noah and your great grandpa Noah. Oh, and he built this beautiful ark and we were saved. These stories in this Bible, amen, are real. And they make sense. Amen. Hallelujah. That's Jesus. Give him praise and glory. That's our God. Hallelujah. Thank you, Lord. No mercy, no compassion, no forgiveness. It was pure evil. Thank you, Noah, for being faithful.